Hey, yo, say hello to the fan guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
The following is a part of KJZC Real Campus Radio. Listen to us anytime online at live365.com, keyword KJZC.
Maverick Crowley will destroy you in a tag match with information more relevant than famous quotes. I'm proud to introduce you to Running the Roast. I'll check those folks. The revolution won't be televised every Thursday, 1 to 3, being mesmerized. Yeah, just a couple of Steve Urkels on Insta can't cover in the square circle. Seeing that we got you, ROH we got you, WWE, any circuit, you know we got you. Right here on SNS, get your network from the podcast of the Untrained Sports Network.
Love it. Good day to day. Good time to air some things out and get it all out there today. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Maverick Bertrand with you once again right here on Running the Ropes on the SNS Radio Network, the Unchained Wrestling Network. And I gotta say, I've been listening to I've been listening to the new Unplugged. And thank you, Mr. Jackson, for putting me out there. I mean, I think this last episode was the first time Jeff actually used my full name, which is great. Saying that I had a coronary over what we reported last time about Ricardo Rodriguez's suspension and how horrible that was. And yeah, I see his point and all that, and I respect his point, and he's absolutely right. There are some things in some diet pills, diet drugs and all that, that just just show up negatively, that just show up as banned substances in the WWE wellness policy. And it sucks. It's horrible, and it sucks. And I hope that I hope that Ricardo takes the time to lose the weight, get everything else out of his system, detox his stuff, and gets back into it. And maybe, you know, punches Vince McMahon in the face. I don't know. I'm not saying he would, but there you go. Anyway, it's been a very eventful week in the country, and you know that George Zimmerman was found not guilty by the jury for his case, and it's horrible because it's especially horrible because a killer walked free. I mean, there's no one way. There's no two ways about it. A killer has walked free. And that's what it was. That's what it became. That's what it came down to. And I see, I've seen this whole Trayvon Martin thing since the very beginning. I kind of could not avoid it because of, I think it was because of the college that kept bringing it up. So, and that makes sense. And that's fine. The whole stand your ground law is a disgusting display of power towards the gun-owning Republican, redneck Republicans and racial profilers out there. I mean, it's not going away. It's unfortunate, but it's at the same time, it's disgusting way that the law works. And I mean, granted, you know, we had an arrest, we had a man's day in court, but at the same time, you know, I go back locally out here to the Oscar Grant shooting that happened. I believe it was New Year's Eve or New Year's morning, 2010. With the Oscar Grant shooting at the Fruitvale BART station by where Oscar Grant was accidentally shot by Johannes Messerli, who was the officer at the time for BART police. And if you want kind of a exaggerated view of it, it's kind of exaggerated, but still it's out there. Check out the new movie that's coming out. I think it's out now, but I'm not sure, called Fruitvale Station. It really sparked a lot of things. A lot of marches, a lot of protests, riots, looting, things like that. It really sparked some change. And even now with this whole Trayvon Martin thing, last reported that, you know, Oakland and the people in Oakland and San Francisco are marching and basically doing the same reaction, because that's what it is. But I look back at it like this, you know, Oscar Grant, at the very least, again, both shootings are tragic and horrible, and to see both of these guys out on the streets walking and all that, just, man, it's just horrible. But, you know, the difference between, the funny thing about this is that George Zimmerman was not a police officer. He was not a he was not anything, but you know, he was a civilian level neighborhood watch. And for one thing, I don't remember, you know, even in a gated community, I don't even remember any neighborhood watch having being armed at any time. Their jobs were basically to gather evidence, to find evidence of crimes, to report on the to basically report to the police about them, and not so much taking action into themselves. I mean, this kind of thing is just stupid and just unethical on the courts. He admitted to killing him, and the funny thing is, you know, they bring up these 911 tapes. And George Zimmerman said on the tapes that, yeah, I'm following the guy. And even the dispatcher said, we don't need you to do that, sir. Go back. Please, we don't need you to do that. Thank you for letting us know. We'll look into it. We'll send an officer right away. There you go. That could have been it and all that. But no, George Zimmerman continued to walk after Trayvon Martin, who was coming out of a 7-Eleven with a bag of Skittles, a pen, and an Arizona drink. And you know what? I don't know what George Zimmerman had against Arizona drinks, because those are tasty, I'm telling you right now. But, I mean, just the fact that he goes and follows this guy, rainy night, had no evidence to support anything towards suspicious behavior, you know, any crime in progress, anything to implicate Trayvon Martin, there was none. And that's what makes this whole thing kind of funny, was that there was no evidence. All that this guy admitted that he was walking towards Trayvon Martin. He was following, he was stalking him. Okay, and stalking's a very big word, and I realize that. But he was stalking Trayvon Martin on a rainy night in Stanford, Florida. It's to a point where a black kid can't even come out of a 7-Eleven without getting shot now. I say that in the most sincere way possible. I mean, are you kidding me? I just never understood the mentality behind that, because I'm not law. I don't work in law enforcement. I don't claim to work in law enforcement. I don't play a lawyer on TV. So I mean, just the fact that this whole situation came down to a point where did George Zimmerman have a right to shoot and kill Trayvon Martin? And my answer to that is hell no, he didn't. Because I've had a scenario playing in my mind throughout this whole thing to where, okay. And again, it's not confirmed. I'm not saying this is how it went, but this is how it goes. This is how it goes in my head. That rainy night, okay, imagine this. Rainy night during, you know, it's Florida, so 20-minute rain delay, basically. Coming in. Trayvon Martin's coming out of the 7-Eleven, walking down the street, and here comes George Zimmerman behind him. Trayvon Martin gets wind of this, and again, not confirmed or denying, but comes in, George Zimmerman follows. George Wynn gets a sneaky suspicion that someone's following him, and he looks to the side and kind of notices someone doing that, and then Zimmerman gets closer. And out of instinct, out of self-defense, Trayvon Martin back elbows him in the nose, breaking his nose. That's how George Zimmerman's nose was broken. Because of self-defense, because he was being stalked by George Zimmerman. Because George Zimmerman thought that Trayvon Martin was doing something suspicious because he's a neighborhood watch. And so that happens. So the elbow happens. And they get into an altercation to the point where Martin mounts on top of Zimmerman, MMA style, and before he could even get a shot, because the only injury that I remember seeing was just the nose broken. That's it. But again, back elbow, and he goes down. Before too long, as Trayvon Martin could have been mounting him on top, that's when Zimmerman struggled to get the gun. But here's what I don't get. If, you know, I'm not, and again, I'm not saying I'm an MMA fighter or anything, but if someone's got their knees pinned on top of your arms, is it kind of hard to reach for a gun? You know what I mean? And does the, I mean, I don't think enough evidence was presented to this, but Wouldn't it be a little hard to get a gun if your arms are being pinned down by someone that's sitting on top of you, struggling with you? I just don't understand. But anyway, he gets the gun out, shoots him. Trayvon Martin's dead. There you go. And I look at it as, you know, Trayvon Martin had every right to defend himself because he was being stalked and someone invaded his personal space and came up behind him at a very accelerated rate, shall we say. George Zimmerman had the mentality because he said he was shooting in self-defense. He had no right to shoot in self-defense. He killed a person. Okay, and he just had no regard. He was... Of course, heat of the moment, he was mad, pulls out a gun, shoots him, and that's all she wrote. But the fact that he comes out on top of this trial behind him is disgusting. And now reports are shown that the Department of Justice is investigating this whole case, the whole trial, because of this. And now we come to find out, we've come to find out that one of the jurors is actually signing a book deal, I believe, on this whole ordeal. saying that, you know, one of the six anonymous jurors saying that, quote, it could open a whole new dialogue about laws that may need to be revised and revamped to suit a 21st century way of life. Adding, quote, the reader will also learn why the jurors had no option but to find Zimmerman not guilty due to the manner in which he was charged and not of and the content of the jury's instructions. So I can see that, and but at the same time, I can understand that, but at the same time, a man has definitely, a killer has been found not guilty. A killer walks free. And to me, that is disgusting, and it's a miscarriage of justice. And because when you know, you always learn that you have to be held accountable for your actions. You kill a guy, something happens. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to that, and we'll see what happens. So there you go. Stay tuned, though, during the show. We will go into wrestling. It's been about 15 minutes now. I apologize for going over that long, but 16 and a half minutes now. But we're going to be talking about, we're going to bring up wrestling news. We're going to talk Raw. I'm going to bring Chris in to talk Raw, SmackDown, or Raw, Money in the Bank, and Impact. So definitely, guys, stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez, and you're listening to Running the Rope on Unchained Wrestling Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Not even the Grim Reaper himself, starving to get his hands on my warrior's soul, can keep me from hearing the battle cries of the warriors in the WWE Universe. To experience WWE 2K14. Pay attention. Never before have so many superstars stepped up to challenge our throne. And if you pre-order WWE 2K14, you can engage the battle as the ultimate warrior. That power, this intensity, your belief, our destiny, all of it together created the one and only Ultimate Warrior. All of us, the freaks, who did in our time what will live forever. Hold this, boss. Pre-order WWE 2K14 today and battle as the one and only Ultimate Warrior. Become immortal. WWE 2K14, pre-order now!
Hey guys, JJ Sexay here. Are you looking for the latest news in both professional wrestling and mixed martial arts? Well, check out www.wrestling-online.com. Sign up for one of the longest-running newsletters in professional wrestling, over 16 years, and just like Wrestling News Live, it's absolutely free. Join over 27,000 other subscribers, wrestling-online.com.
You will learn to pronounce my name properly.
Wrestling-online.com.
Hey guys, everybody, my loyal twinions et al. This is Katarina Waters, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Katie Lee, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Winter, and you are listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Network.
I will.
Welcome back to Running the Ropes right here on the Unchained Wrestling Network and our SNS Radio Network. My name is Brian Maverick Bertrand once again, and finally coming on the show a little late, but that's all right. The owner, the operator of HeadlocksAndHeadlines.com, Chris Kelly. Chris, how the hell are you today?
Then you almost said the RTR Network. I didn't know we're now on network.
I was like, it was like rattling to my tongue. Like, that's not right.
Like, the RTR Radio Network.
I'm not ready for that yet.
That'd be pretty fun. Like, you know, four shows of Maverick talking about different things.
Oh, Jesus, you don't want me on that much.
Monday, talking, you know, about wrestling. Tuesday, talking about a zebra that he saw down the road. That'd be nice. Wednesday, talking about, you know, medical shit. That'd be fantastic.
I wouldn't mind doing that, but at the same time, I get annoyed with my own voice pretty quickly. I don't know why. I mean, because I do a show every week, almost every week. But man, I just get annoyed with myself. I just want to tell myself just to shut the hell up every time.
You know, like apparently us hosts love you know, the sound of our own voice. So if you want to sit there for 6 hours a week, hearing yourself.
I love the sound of my own voice, but not so much. not as much as, you know, I need to. So
No, I'm quoting now. By the end of 2013, you know, before the launch of WWE's network, we'll have a Mav network.
Oh god.
Mav talking about random stuff for 6 hours.
And it's just gonna be me for some reason. Like no one else will wanna come on my network. It's just going to be me just talking to myself for God knows how long at a time. And all it is going to be random rants and bitching and moaning about everything.
And then following some, you know,
every single day, too.
Oh, that'd be great networking. I'd give you that. And then, you know, you can invite people like, you know, Bronx on, and Bronx can, you and Bronx can moan about stuff and bring on, you know, Maze, and he can...
Now, see, if me and Bronx came on, at least we can be sure of one thing. There will be a TNA show. Just saying. Anyway, let's move on. We have our weekly... We have our normal wrestling roundup to talk about. And I'm doing it kind of different this time. We're going to do the roundup first, and then we'll do the news. Does that sound good?
Sound good to me.
You sound so nervous.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Why am I nervous? I'm distracted because I'm watching Cartoon Network, and right now I see puppets dancing on the screen, and I'm trying to figure out why there are puppets dancing on the screen without any audio.
Well, you're quite, watching quite Cartoon Network. You get Cartoon Network out there, like Adult Swim and all that.
No, what it is Adult Swim is different. Like, because of course when I'm over there in America, uh-huh, I love watching TV because, as you say, yours goes from Cartoon Network to Adult Swim.
Right.
Over here, Cartoon Network and Adult Swim are different channels.
Weird. Oh, that's horrible. Like,
that upsets me badly. You have no idea. Weird. I hate. That's why I love.
So I love America. Let me get this straight. So Adult Swim has its own network. And it's just Adult Swim shows, or do they pull in other shows to fill it?
It's Adult Swim.
Can I just say, as a North American, because I know this show's from Canada, I want to apologize right now for that Tim and Eric shows. You kind of have to be high on some sort of acid or something to actually watch it and tolerate it. I hate that show with a passion.
It's Comedy Central is mixed with Adult Swim.
Okay.
That's what they're mixed together. So yeah, I'm watching Cartoon Network, but you guys get a much better layout of TV. We don't. I love watching American TV when I'm over there.
See, then you should tell your cable operator, hey, you know, guys, I've been to America, and this is way better than what we have out here in the UK. So what the hell, guys? Anyway,
yes, because one man, you know, has the power to overthrow the TV, you know, industry.
And his name is Ted Turner. Anyway, hey, it's true. He may be breeding buffalo right now, but it's true. He can still pick up the phone and do it. Oh dear God, why did I turn to this channel? Turn off.
Right now, Mav is watching Asian Bay Station. Right now, that's what he's doing.
Really. So anyway, Money in the Bank happened.
Did it?
Yeah.
I was at work for it, but I did watch it this morning, so I can chime in with some opinions. So
I did watch it.
I fell asleep during one match. I kept falling asleep. I tried to watch it three times a day, and I kept falling asleep during the Ryback match. That match kept putting me to sleep.
Ryback's become the new Randy Orton. It's weird.
I'm not going to lie to you. Randy Orton tonight on Raw really impressed me.
Yeah.
He actually showed character. He showed charisma. Much to my shock and chagrin.
Yeah.
Money Bank. Tag team match. Tag team match was the first match on the card. The Usos versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins.
Yeah. What I liked about this one was that it was 90% match, 10% storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It was very wrestling heavy, and that was perfect. I think. I mean, throughout the whole night, I mean, it was pretty. For the most part, it was pretty epic. I mean, and let's get into it right now. Damian Sandow wins Money in the Bank for the World Heavyweight Championship.
I think the MVP of that match was Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
Cody Rhodes was bumping left, right, and center. I think, to be fair, we saw it on Raw, but this was his face time. He stole the show.
I could see that. I could see how he would be the highlight of the night for that, but my highlight had to be Dean Ambrose. I think the way he, the power moves he used and the fact that he no-sold a lot of the, well, not really sellable moves, it really showed his talent as far as the power is concerned. But you're absolutely right. Cody Rhodes made that face turn, and having been betrayed by Sandow, I think it worked out really well.
And this is face turn is beyond, you know, welcome, because back when Randy Orton and he and Ted DiBiase were on Legacy, that then is when they should have, you know, had Orton turn heel, Ted DiBiase thing go face.
That would have been the perfect time for them to turn face. Yeah, I agree.
But now, you know, Ted DiBiase, when he got pushed as a face, showed he could be as a face. Cody Rhodes will now show he can be a great face.
Where is Ted DiBiase now?
Somewhere in the Black Abyss called WWE Creative.
Oh, Teddy. Bring the DiBiase legacy back, man. Come on.
He's somewhere right next to Mason Ryan in, you know, that creative hell.
You know what? I was listening to Unplugged this week. I might catch NXT because JJ did say that that Mason Ryan's looking a lot better now.
Nope, he still has my photo.
he still has your photo?
Yeah, that will never, ever go away. As long as I'm breathing air, that bus is still with me.
What if I happen to catch him out here? If he somehow makes it back to the main roster, and I get you a photo of him with me.
Cool.
Would that be
with
cool?
With you. Well, what I'll have to do...
Would you want it with me, or would you want it by himself?
Well, you know, if you go in, what I can do, I can then, you know, go on Photoshop, shop you out and put me in. That's fine.
I could do that. I could totally do that. That's You'd fine. Be wearing my shirt, but that's all right. Don't worry.
So you say you listened to This Week's Unplugged. Did you hear me verbally bitch that Bronx?
Not. I haven't got that far yet for this last week. But I have been listening to most of it. I listened to like the one 2 weeks ago, and I listened to the last one before that. And I gotta say, Unplugged has really changed things up, and I love it. I think it's fun to listen to. I want everyone to check that out. So,
Wormsy Boy try to outshine me on my return to my old stomping ground.
I don't know yet. I'm gonna hear it and I'm gonna laugh. I'm gonna have an opinion on it on the Facebook page. So trust me on that.
You're going to love it. And you know, he and Jenny, you know, try to, you know, be a bit harsh towards running the ropes. You know, trying to diss you and I on this show. So I had a verbally
back. I heard
that
part. I heard that part when he talked about Ricardo Rodriguez. I let it slide, only because he's absolutely right. We'll talk about that later. But right now we got Money in the Bank to go through. But we will talk about that. Brad Maddox pays tribute to Vicky Guerrero. What did you think about that?
Brad Maddox is, you know, when he debuted and I started this show, I didn't enjoy him. But he's slowly growing on me. And I like right now how he's stuck between, you know, each McMahon. And he's growing on me. And I think, in time he would improve. And I think he could become a good GM, in my opinion. That's my guess.
Yeah, I just don't like his character.
Yeah, but you don't like anyone's character. I mean, you didn't like Joey Ryan. I mean, you love Joey Ryan.
I hate Joey Ryan. No, I don't necessarily hate Joey Ryan's character. I just hate who he gyrates to, and it's disgusting. But anyway,
Maverick's just upset that he didn't gyrate towards him.
That's disgusting. Curtis Axel retains Intercontinental Championship against The Miz. This one was pretty good for an IC title match.
I just see right now Joe Ryan gyrating towards Mav. That's what I see.
What's funny is that the kid he was gyrating to, the kid almost jumped the rail. He was right next to me, too, so.
I kind of laughed at that. So you were quite upset they didn't do it towards you directly.
No, I wanted the kid to jump out and super kick him in the face. But that's my opinion.
I see. I now see where your heat comes from Joey Ryan. I get it. You are upset.
Are you focused? Goddamn. It's like I'm the one that's supposed to have ADD on this show. AJ Lee retains against Caitlyn for the Divas title. What do you
hot
think?
Girls. I like hot girls wrestling. Hot girls wrestling is fun.
Hot girls wrestled and hot girls had a match.
And to quote, you know, Mr. Hendrix, sex will never go out of style. So as long as they keep having hot girls, wrestling's good.
There you go. Chris Jericho versus Ryback. Ryback defeats Chris Jericho.
This match put me to sleep. This match put me to sleep.
Yeah, you know what? This match was a major sleeper match. I don't know why. I mean, they built it up, but I don't understand why this match had to go on the pay-per-view. It wasn't a pay-per-view quality match to me.
You know, it's because the fans of WCW, they finally got to see their dream match. They finally got to see Goldberg versus Jericho.
Yes. That's exactly what it was. Oh, exactly.
The fans back in Georgia were sat there fapping over the TV going, yes, we finally get the dream match.
Yes, finally. It's still real to me, damn it. Still real to me, damn it. It's disgusting. But you're absolutely right. Chris Jericho finally got his revenge against Goldberg. And Goldberg won. Wah, wah. Alberto Del Rio retains via disqualification against Dolph Ziggler thanks to a run-in by AJ Lee. But AJ looked really good. good at that pay-per-view.
AJ always looks good.
She does. She really does. And the crowd was kind of behind it, yelling, "You screwed Ziggler." I wanna make a point real quick. Back on the World Heavyweight Title Money in the Bank, and I know it's going way back in this pay-per-view, but one thing I noticed was that the fans, when Cesaro and Swagger came out, they were really behind these. The crowd was really into these guys.
Yeah, we the people.
They were chanting "We the People" and really got behind them.
I think to be fair, they're more like saying "Weed the People," but we didn't hear the D.
Probably, yeah. You might be right. It's like Cryback where you can't hear the C, but it might be that. Yeah. So, but I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was interesting. Seeing as how there's supposed to be faces and all that, and I would have laughed if everyone was cheering to whatever Zeb Coulter was saying. It didn't even matter.
They pretty much were cheering.
They pretty much were, but wow, it was interesting.
Why are there blue giraffes on my TV screen right now? I can't get this plot this show.
It's because they found out you were sending my Running the Ropes email those draft pictures.
Ah.
And they just wanted to make sure that you knew that they knew that you were sending them.
Okay. Oh. And now there's blue and yellow pandas.
Yes.
And blue giraffes and have I been inhaling something that I shouldn't be doing? Because
anyway.
Sorry. Back to wrestling.
God, it's like you have ADD and I have ADD and it just throws off the whole show.
Still, damn it, to me, it's still real to me, damn it.
Anyway, John Cena retains the WWE Championship against Mark Henry. It looks like Mark Henry is a little injured after that too.
I don't. So they built him up to be this big heel. He being, of course, Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And then you have him tap out like a little bitch.
Exactly. And you know, what other odds are there for John Cena to overcome? He already has the belt. He's already on top of the damn food.
I find it funny. I'm trying to find it on wrestlingmovies.com. But Cena, failed to pick up Mark Henry. Yeah, in the past, he has comfortably picked up.
In the past, you're right. He has comfortably picked up Mark Henry, Great Khali, Big Show, Rikishi.
Okay, here it is, right? Okay, so Khali is 7'1", 420 pounds.
I think it's 7'4".
Is he? Okay. Big Show, 7'1", 441. But when he picked up Big Show and Edge, that was a combined weight of 682. He then failed to pick up a 418-pound right back. No, sorry, Mark Henry, sorry. Like, huh?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. I mean, it was cool, but I mean, see, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make us suspend disbelief, but at the same time, it really shouldn't be there, but whatever.
Is it bad, right? As a fan, right, I see no one on the wrestling roster, be it WWE, NXT, that can beat Cena. Like, there's no one.
Yeah, that's and bad. It's like, I could see him retiring on top. Let him retire on top. Fine.
There was literally no one that I could see beating Cena, and that's bad, especially for a wrestling company.
It's very
where
bad because it's not only the fact that it's on the top wrestling company in the world right now. Hulk Hogan did not have as many title defenses as John Cena had. Hulk Hogan did not win the WWE title as much as John Cena has. Hell, Hulk Hogan didn't have as many matches as John Cena had, and Hulk Hogan was in his prime in WWF. So, I mean, come on, guys. Even Hulk Hogan took some time off.
It's just like, it's quite hard to try and, you know, support this product when it's same old shit.
Exactly.
Like, and, you know, I know people like Chris, you're a TNA fanboy, But at least in TNA, you get, you know, for example, Austin Aries defeating Bully Ray. You will get Chris Sabin defeating...
And Austin Aries was an underdog coming in when he won the TNA title. You know, look at these guys that have had it. You know, Kurt Angle, Sting, yeah, they're world heavyweight material. Bobby Roode, amazing heavyweight title contender. An amazing talent right there. Austin, and you know, they got to put more belts on James Storm, Robert Roode, Austin Aries, Chris Daniels, if possible, AJ Styles, you know, all that good stuff. Because they're new faces. They're fresh faces coming out of the gate, getting right in there and just saying, you know what, you don't have to be from another, you don't have to be from the giant company to be a champion here. You could be a homegrown hero, you could be straight out of TNA, and you could be champion, and you could dominate. And that's what we don't see here with WWE, because we're always seeing John Cena on top of the world. It might move some merchandise, but that's all it's doing. It's not giving you a better product because John Cena is still the champion.
And that's how the thing is, right? Like, even now, looking forward to SummerSlam, I don't really see Daniel Bryan winning the belt.
I don't either.
The best thing you might do is you have D. Bryan take Cena to limits, right?
That's why it was so great to watch when CM Punk had the belt for 434 days, because at least that's an entire calendar year of a new face, of someone who just sat down and bitched and moaned about not being able to get the title because Super Cena takes the belt once again.
Like, also, for example, I mean, when they had Ziggler. When Ziggler was world champion, he was booked, you know, as a underdog champion. He would lose, like, he lost every match leading up to him cashing in.
Right.
And with Cena, they can't or don't want to make him appear weak.
And yet, it's quite frustrating. They did not. And yet, even if they wanted him to appear weak, you know, look at how last year went for him. 2012, no wins. Okay, that makes sense. But all of a sudden, 2013 rolls around. Oh, we need someone else to take the belt. Boom, Cena. Why? What I hate is that, why is Cena your go-to guy? Why is Cena your diamond in the rough when you have literally 100 more guys that have been waiting to get their spot for a long time now? I want to see a return match between RVD and John Cena and have RVD win the belt, because technically I can't say he never lost it, because he did lose it. But
yeah,
still,
you know,
I mean, you punish RVD and yet you don't do that. I mean, I know I'm not going to get an RVD title match because he's only on a 6-month contract for now, but still, I mean, just the fact that just the fact that Cena suddenly has to be your constant go-to guy. I get he's dedicated. I'm not knocking that. It's just the fact that he's always the guy they're going to.
And the worst thing is, right, on any show that has, you know, WWE to it, Cena has to be involved. I mean,
exactly. It comes to the WWE title.
Well, no, right? Okay, Total Divas, okay? That's debuting in, what, 2 weeks time?
Yeah.
On E! The main storyline on that program is how Cena is dating one of the Bellas, and how the other is dating D. Bryan.
And we're going to cover the news on that too, because yeah, from what I hear, they're going to.
Pretty much. Don't ruin it.
We'll mention it during the news segment. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. And I think what's funny about this match with Cena and Mark Henry is the fact that it wasn't the main event.
Thank God.
Thank God, but at the same time, it's your main title match. You build it up bigger than the... I'll tell you one damn thing. They built it up bigger than the Money in the Bank matches. Both of them. So, just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm happy that, you know, finally we didn't have Cena in the main event.
That's true. That's true. But
and then, of course, when the moment of the evening was the
All-Star WWE Championship Money in the Bank ladder match, to which
seeing the return of RVD was great. I love seeing RVD back.
We did see the return of RVD. He looked phenomenal. He looked amazing.
Well, I saw him at FWE, so I knew he was in great shape. It was amazing how many fans still don't know about TNA. They literally think he's been retired for the last 6 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ignorant people. Anyway.
Yep. They have no idea about the indie scenes. They have no idea about TNA. No idea about ROH.
Oh, wow. I just saw something. I didn't think Big E Langston would turn on Dolph Ziggler. But anyway. But this match was won by Randy Orton. This match was actually very good in terms of everything going on, especially near the end where Paul Heyman turned on CM Punk and slammed him with the ladder a few times and cut his head open. To which
he made him humble. He humbled him.
he humbled him. He humbled him big time. So there you go. But anyway, that was WWE Money in the Bank 2013.
And the winner, of course, wasn't it, was Randy Orton.
Yes, was Randy it? No. Orton did win.
Yeah, Orton? No. No, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Orton. Orton won, yeah. Sorry, I just got confused. Orton won.
But that was that was Money in the Bank 2013. What did you think?
Great show. Like I say, I actually missed it because I was at work, but then I caught up in the morning. Great show. Great show.
Yeah, you know what? If I had to give it a letter grade, I'd give it a solid B. You know, it was good for, you know, not one of the big four. It was good for, you know, the matches that took place. I think the highlights of the night were definitely in the Money in the Bank matches, and that way it did do those jobs very well to establish the next contenders, next guaranteed contenders for that. And I think that I think the little twists in the show, including the Shield coming down for the SmackDown Money in the Bank, and Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman getting involved in the Raw one, it was just fun and it did its job. But as far as like the entire pay per view goes, I'd give it a solid B. So
I have to ask,
what's up
on Twitter? Why does Scott Hall at about 10 o'clock American time start posting pictures of girls half naked?
Because Scott Hall is Scott Hall, and Scott Hall can do what Scott Hall wants.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just wondering why, you know, 10 p.m. bang, he goes from being a wrestling legend to being a pervert.
You know what? Is he doing that right now?
Mm-hmm. He's been retweeting pictures of people of like girls in bikinis, and he did it every night.
Uh-oh.
Scott Hall at Scott Hall in the bureau.
Oh, I see it.
He did it every single night.
Oh.
You know what I say, right? The internet is for porn. The internet is for porn. You don't need to use Twitter to get to find pictures of women.
He even posted a picture of Velvet Sky's ass.
I know, right?
Not complaining. Not complaining.
And that there is what we call, you know, derailing the train of the show.
You know what? He's doing good. He's doing real good. I don't know if he's drunk at the moment, but
no, he's sober.
I hope he's sober, and I hope he's doing well. You know what? I still want to do one thing. I really want to do, and I wanted to bring this up to you, Chris, before. I think I did bring it up to you before offline, was that I want to do like a healthy living kind of month, and each week we bring in the guys from Accountability House, like, 1 week be Jake Roberts, if possible.
If Saber.
Stop it. 1 week be Scott Hall. 1 week be, you know, another guy that's there. And then, like, the final week be, you know, DDP.
It's me.
I would love... DDP. One of my... Actually, I think two of those guys, Jake Roberts and DDP, are on my interview bucket list. I have created an interview bucket list of people I want to interview. I really want to interview. Kind of similar to what Trey Dog did on WNL.
Well, you know, I'm here. I can make stuff happen. You know, I'm not as active as I used to be in book stuff.
But make it happen.
The problem with DDP is like when last time when we booked him, of course I gave him Trey Dog. No, nothing. And what he does, he likes to quiz you before you interview him to make sure you're die. No, DDP. He likes to quiz you. Yeah, he likes to quiz you to make sure you're a diehard wrestling fan and not just some smart.
Oh, dude. I would totally love to get him on there for that. I could ace his quiz.
And then if he thinks you're okay, he's like, okay, we'll have you on the show, or I'll come on your show. That goes. So, I mean, that's doable. Jake Snake Roberts is probably doable. Scott Hall's probably doable. It's all doable. I just need time.
Yeah, we'll give it some time. I'm not in a big hurry for it, but I would love to have him on. And I mean, as a guy his age, I think he became a huge inspiration. So there you go. Anyway, let's get back into the wrestling recap here.
Let's get back into the wrestling recovery and go to him at the Academy Clip in Georgia.
Yeah, really.
I need to stop drinking as well. Let's go and see if we can spend 30 days without getting pissed.
You're gonna get us in trouble one day. Watch, I can guarantee it. Like
one day
you're gonna get me in trouble. One day, don't know when, but I could just see it now.
Have I done that already? Have I done it already?
Almost.
Is that my job? Isn't that my job?
Is
that not my job? You know, hashtag heat seeking. Is that not my idea?
Yeah.
All I'll say about that is, you know, our Mickey James interview that was perfect at the time went downhill.
Keyword Magnus at the time.
Downhill. In general.
Anyway. WWE Raw came to us live from Brooklyn, New York. And you know what? I gotta say this. Ever since JBL came on the scene, became the third guy at the commentary table, I have been loving him. He has been color commentary gold. And it's just been amazing. But anyway, match starts out to Cena, John Cena coming out as he skips and hops his way down to the ring with a little douchebag grin on his face, acknowledging the heat, and throws his hands up in the air, saying the champ is here. So there you go.
The champ is here.
Saying that Cena saying that he's amused that this is the Maddox area, and confidently tells Brad Maddox that this is the first time during the Maddox era that Brad will be in a ring with someone more hated than himself.
Boom, boom, boom.
Which I can agree with. Cena says that he doesn't even know if Maddox would be a good GM or not, so he's willing to give him a fair chance. To that, Brad Maddox says that for the first time in the history, the WWE champion will pick his own opponent for SummerSlam, a big pay-per-view. So throughout the night, he's going to be picking his opponent. After that, Randy Orton comes down to the ring and says that there's a good chance that Cena won't even be champion come SummerSlam. Orton basically showing, you know, just making sure that Cena knows that Randy Orton is the Money in the Bank winner.
Like I said, Orton actually showed no charisma. He actually showed some kind of character.
Orton hasn't showed any charisma in the last 3 years. So
last three, I mean, I think the last 10.
Maybe the last 10.
But I mean, Orton today, he looks sharp. He actually made me care, which is quite shocking for him.
I have the Western feed of Raw playing, and I see Bray Wyatt come down, and I still see that LED light transformation.
Yeah, you would think, right? But I mean, that wouldn't work because, of course, he blows out the torch, and then you can't have a naked
God
flame.
God forbid he burns his hand on an oil lamp.
No, dude, most places won't allow a naked flame. You know?
Oh, that's right. Well,
because, dude, even that bit of smoke would set off the fire alarm.
Lame. Well, I guess it makes sense.
Right, and as cool as that would be, I don't think that each week they want to flood out the arena with the fire alarms.
That's true. Anyway, Fandango comes out to the ring and makes himself known. To which the first match of the show becomes Randy Orton versus Fandango by order of Brad Maddox.
Fandango in this match was freaking awesome.
Was he? I didn't see that one.
Oh, dude, Fandango, he was like going toe-to-toe with Orton. Like, he was at points out, you know, shining Orton. Fandango, he got over with that whole Fandangoing thing, but tonight he proved that he can hang with the big people. And Summer Rae looked fantastic as well.
I bet. Anyway, Dolph Ziggler won this one. Of course, this was a jobber match. After the match, Dolph Ziggler is seen in the back with AJ. AJ is asking Dolph if he's ever going to talk to her again.
Mav, do you know what you just said?
Dolph Ziggler in the back with AJ.
No. Before that.
What did I say?
You said that Dolph Ziggler won this match.
Oh, I'm sorry. Randy Orton won this match. I was already reading into the Dolph Ziggler paragraph for this part, and yeah, anyway.
I was like, what? Ziggler won the match? You didn't even...
Randy Orton wins this match. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a little tired right now.
He just runs out and, you know, runs out and wins the match.
Hey, just being a show-off. That's just who I am, and that's, you know, what I'm paid to do.
Comes out dressed as Randy Orton, throws away the real Randy Orton, RKOs him, and then he
gets an instant haircut and it suddenly goes back. Anyway,
hey, he did a SmackDown where he dresses in car. It's doable.
Apparently, they couldn't tell it was a white guy under the mask. It must have been a damn good tan. Anyway, Dolph Ziggler's in the back with AJ Styles.
What?
I just noticed that. AJ Lee. I'm watching too much TNA. AJ Lee asks if Dolph is ever going to talk to her again soon. Ziggler's telling AJ to stop apologizing because it's time to move on. AJ's happy, throws her arms around them, but Dolph said, don't twist it around. It's time for me to move on from you. Basically dumping her right there.
And apparently, according to Mav, AJ Styles appeared there as well.
Apparently, AJ Styles just showed up on his little toy bike. And
just kind of showed up.
I cannot believe how small his motorcycle is. It looks fantastic. But it's dinky and small as hell. So, I don't know. Anyway, after the commercial break, Mark Henry makes his way down to the ring wearing a full suit, you know, looking all dressed to the nines. While his jacket is not pink this time, he's sporting a nice purple dress shirt and a tie, saying that last night Cena showed up to their match as advertised. Henry calls Cena a great superstar, claiming that he was very close to winning the belt, but came up short, to which the crowd chanted, "You tapped out." Henry did acknowledge the fact that he says Cena would make each of them tap out as well.
I would have loved if fans go, "You tapped out," and he goes,
"That's what I do." Henry says that he's not there to make excuses. He just wants another shot at the belt because he believes he can beat Cena once again. But, of course, that wasn't going to happen as the stench of injustice was in the air. And the Shield comes down through the crowd. Members of the Shield make their way down and surround the world's... I like how these results describe Mark Henry as the world's strongest Cena tap-out victim. Henry takes off his jacket and attempts to bring it to the Shield. At the start, he looked very good, but, of course, the Hounds of Justice were just too much for him, as they end up giving Mark Henry the triple powerbomb, which is actually very sick to watch. So there you go. After that, the new GM, Brad Maddox, is in his office on the phone with his mom. His mommy was on the phone. He let it slip that they still reside together. to which Chris Jericho walks in the shot. Maddox knows that Jericho wants to be champion and thinks that the best way for that is for Chris Jericho to impress John Cena. And Maddox suggests that he takes it to Rob Van Dam on tonight on Raw. And to which Jericho agrees to it. After that, Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler have their rematch. This match is actually pretty good for a little match on Raw. But Alberto Del Rio won this one pretty clean. So with a strong kick to the back of the head to Dolph Ziggler. After AJ Lee rang the bell, you're right.
Looking really, really hot.
She made her entrance and revealed herself, and she looked very good in black. After the match, AJ climbs in the ring, looks at Ziggler, and slaps him across the face, and the tornado of slaps continue as she yells at Ziggler, saying that he broke her heart. Then Biggie Langston comes into the ring and hits a vicious big clothesline on Dolph Ziggler. I didn't expect that. And then
long story short, do not piss off a crazy chick. She will squish you, literally.
And then a big man will come in the ring.
A big what man?
I'm not saying it. yeah. That, and just, wow.
It's going downhill, it's fine.
And it's funny because Biggie Langston does his big finish, the big finish, there you go. And the commentators don't even acknowledge
call it.
Yeah. They don't even call it. Can you really not, are you not sure of the name? Simple.
He does something. He did a move.
But they didn't do that. Anyway, after the commercial break, R-Truth wraps his way back down to the ring and hopefully to see a possible match come out of it. But as R-Truth is playing to the crowd, a video plays with Bray Wyatt lighting a lantern announcing that his family is here in Brooklyn. And the Wyatt family comes out and just take out R-Truth, which was actually a really cool segment. I liked it.
I love the bit where he got knocked down and then got back up.
Yeah, and he got crazy. Back up with a chair, and then you see Bray Wyatt, Husky Harris, I guess.
Husky Harris.
Please bring it to me, and all that, and he reluctantly gets in and just... And then they just destroy him again. It was really good, so... I was actually pretty pleased with that segment, because it was pretty well created on their part. After that, we see a video package of the new WWE Performance Center, which is going to be the new home for NXT, I believe, unless they're going to keep it at Full Sail University.
It's also 100 yards away from the Impact Zone.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Did you know that? It's literally 100 yards away from the Impact Zone.
I think I heard that once, but I didn't think it was that close.
100 yards.
That's kind of backhanded, don't you think?
it's like, Tina, get out of there. We're going to go there. Yeah.
It's a little bit of a slap in the face. Now they're going to put NXT in the Impact Zone. How about that? They're not even going to take anything out. They're going to keep everything there and just
keep video screens.
They're going to take out all the Impact logos and all that. They're going to replace that, but that's it. Everything else is going to stay the same, but you're totally...
No, it's fine. They just keep the, like, you know, the Impact Zone logo.
little facing of the crowd. That's it.
All right. They do what they did when... Do you remember Night of Champions 08? It was just after they relaunched ECW, and they didn't actually have an image of the ECW title for the big posters. So they used the image of the old Cruiserweight title and just stuck the letters ECW in it.
I remember that.
That actually made it into video game. But imagine, right, they can do that with NXT. Have the Impact logos. Just have NXT.
Use the old TNA title belt, the one with the spikes on top, and just put NXT on it. It seems legit.
And then they have, you know, the Hulk Hogan kid from TNA and the Sting kid from TNA move into.
Anyway, after the commercial break, we get to see. Actually, after all that happened, Jerry Lawler reveals the result of WWE to find out who Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro will face. And the name that came up, of course, the Usos.
How the hell is Cesaro an old American?
No. See, they say they in the story, it goes that Antonio Cesaro became an American citizen the right way. That's why he's aligned himself with Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger, because he came in the right way. He didn't sneak across borders. He didn't sneak up on a boat. He did it. Did the whole process.
He flew on a plane instead.
He flew on a plane and became a citizen. But there you go. This match ended with the Usos winning very quickly. This was really too fast of a match for Cesaro and Swagger, but I guess that's Swagger's fault.
It's too high to get.
After the commercial break, Christian defeats Damian Sandow.
Shock,
ha ha. Actually, very shocked, because, you know, Damian Sandow wins the Money in the Bank World Heavyweight Championship match, and you have him lose on the very next match to Christian. You know, not knocking Christian. Christian's a talented guy, former TNA champion, one of the most popular NWA champions in the last, 40, 50, 60 years. And, I mean, but Damian Sandow just came off of a big win at Money in the Bank, and you're not going to put him over? I mean, come on.
I think
this is Damian Sandow. He's the first ever NorCal Money in the Bank winner. Come on.
Yeah, but I don't think considering, you know, his name, he probably shouldn't be Mr. Money. He should be, you know, Mr. Currency of Exchange, or, you know, Mr. Tender. I mean, there's one on Twitter. Mr. Tender in the repository. That there is what we're calling him. Mr. Tender in repository.
Mr. Tender in repository?
Yes.
I don't understand that.
That's a posh way of saying Money in the Bank.
Okay.
Matt doesn't get it.
Mr. Tender in the repository. That sounds like a really bad medication to stick up your ass. I'm just saying. And that's really weird. I'm not sure if we should say that on the air.
Just did.
Anyway, Brie Bella with Nikki in her corner takes on Naomi with Cameron in her corner. And I still stand by what I said about Cameron. She has no place anywhere near a wrestling ring.
Then lucky that it was Naomi wrestling, wasn't it? Because Naomi can wrestle. She's a really good wrestler.
Yeah, I'm glad Naomi's there and not Cameron. And what's funny is that Cameron's been in a tag team match with Naomi. And I'm disgusted. But anyway, where were we here? Oh, CM Punk's music hits. Now, Chris, I don't know if I didn't see this one, so go ahead and describe this one for me.
CM Punk.
The CM Punk Paul Heyman segment.
Basically, he comes down and he's like, "Okay, I'm here. I know that Paul Heyman's here, and I know that Lesnar's here. So I'm calling you out." And out comes Heyman, and Heyman's like, "Without me, there would be no CM Punk. Since your return to WWE, you think that you are above me." And basically, he said that without Heyman, he would not be where he is. He would not have been champion for 400 days. And Punk was like, "You know, I am going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy everyone around you. I'm going to destroy everyone between you and I. And Heyman basically goes, you know what? It's clobbering time, and brought out Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar destroyed CM Punk, including an F5 onto the table that did not break. so Botchmania, that there will be Botchmania.
How do you do an F5 and not have the table break? I mean, bounced. You would think with the downward force of that, you'd be able to make the table break somehow. I mean, wow. Matthew, please use that.
He will.
And what's funny is that we knew this match was coming for a long time. We call this two months ago that there would be an eventual Lesnar Punk match.
I'm thinking it'd be a last man standing match. Cause
they can't do that. Dude,
like,
you can't have a last man standing match with Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar is a former UFC champion.
I'm calling it now.
No, I can't see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't.
That's my guess.
Anyway, I should really turn off my phone sounds. Mute that. But yeah, I love the fact that they're putting it out there now, and they should really have him have a match first to beat Curtis Axel and take away his title belt.
Is it bad that I forgot who the champion was? I literally had no idea who the IC champion was. I had no idea. Because I was thinking they can give it to RVD, and I'm like, wait, who's the champion? I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just Axel. He's great. He's a good wrestler, but he's now lost in transaction. He's lost in, you know, this whole thing between Lesnar and Heyman and Punk, which is unfortunate for him.
Yeah,
unfortunate for him.
Oh well, but anyway, after that, we got to see Cena having yet to make a decision on his. On his SummerSlam opponent walking through the hallway, the Great Khali appears.
Suddenly, a great Khali appears.
Exactly, a wild Khali. Khali speaks in his native tongue of Farsi. Cena also replies in Punjabi. Okay. Khali is very pleased and says, "That's awesome. I don't know. Anyway, it's like Khali was talking, was doing a Jackass interview or something. So, anyway, Brad Maddox is in his office with Stephanie McMahon. He goes in for a hug, but Stephanie shakes his hand instead. Stephanie's asking.
He went for a low hug. That's what it is. He went for a low hug. When she's like, bitch, please.
Well, see, Chris, you tried to go for a low hug with some TNA knockouts, and you got stopped by security before you made it, before you even made your move, so...
No. If you're going to, like, find me up, you know, untrue things, it was when I met Brooke Tesmocker, and I put my arm around her, security thought my hand was too low, so they pulled my hand up her back, scratching her back, and she's like, no, his hand was fine, so... It's just, you know, at the security. The giant douchebags.
Anyway, after that whole thing with Brad saying Brad starts to reply, but she wasn't talking to Brad. Triple H was actually talking to Triple H, who appeared behind Maddox, saying that he's doing an okay job so far. They're trying to convince Brad that Vince doesn't like it when decisions are left up to other people. So, especially not left to a superstar.
Like Vince McMahon.
For the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. So, there you go. Triple H then wishes Maddox the best in his future endeavors later tonight. So.
You've been fired.
After that, we got to see a pretty lengthy match between RVD and Jericho. to which Rob Van Dam makes the win. And that was the final match of the evening, as after that, the entire roster comes down the entrance ramp. Cena makes his entrance and says that he can't announce his competitor because he has yet to make a decision. Cena's been listening to countless superstars make their plea all night, saying that he did not hear from the most important voice. Cena wants to hear from the WWE Universe. Why do you leave it up to the people? Honestly.
Weed the people.
Exactly. The crowd is full of children.
Smarks.
Children, smarks, and stoners.
I thought I mentioned earlier the fact that the fans chanted Randy Savage during Randy Orton's match.
Looks like, oh, like, Randy Savage. WWE's coming to Oakland for a house show. Ooh. I don't want to go to Oakland at all. I'm avoiding Oakland at all costs.
Matt Funk go there. He's got a bad arrest in that city.
No, there's too many protests out there. Too many marchers who think they're looters. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. John Cena finally makes his decision, saying that Daniel Bryan is going to be his next opponent for SummerSlam, and Raw ends.
Yay.
Now, what do you think, before we give our grades, what do you think of Daniel Bryan being the next competitor?
Good. But I don't see him winning it.
I don't either, but at the same time, I don't like the timing of it myself.
What is that?
The timing of... I mean, don't get me wrong. I do want to one day see Daniel Bryan and John Cena. And I'm sure we will get that at SummerSlam. But the timing of it right now, unfortunately, I would wait until at least Survivor Series.
But they want to try and use Total Divas.
That's true.
They want to, you know, they want to use the whole thing with the fact that they're both checking a Bella.
Right.
In the storyline.
So, I mean, I could see how that goes. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it myself. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I think the timing is too soon. I do want to see it. Wrestling-wise, I want to see it. But if they're going to utilize the Total Divas show, which personally, I'm hoping does bad.
But what? So you're telling me that you don't like scripted diva stuff? It's meant to be, you know, reality TV.
You know what? It's reality TV, and
that's scripted.
It's on the E channel, and honestly, who watches E nowadays? You know, E has stopped being good since John Henson left Talk Soup. My opinion, but. Ever since they stopped doing the E! True Hollywood Stories and stuff like that, it just doesn't seem like... It's become Kardashians and Kardashians with having sex with basketball players and Kardashians having babies.
Oh, I have to blame the E! Channel.
Bruce Jenner's ugly face.
I blame the E! Channel for making the Kardashians, do I?
And
okay.
Khloe Kardashian snorting coke in front of her radio station manager. I did see a clip of that, and I saw her pour out the cocaine and just fucking do a line real quick. And I laughed because it was in front of her boss, and she got canned quick. So
why are we talking about the Kardashians?
I'm just saying it was funny because I love to see Kardashian, any Kardashian suffer. That's just my opinion on that.
He just has a sick thing for, like, seeing people suffer, that's what it is.
I'm just glad she got fired, because then she cried. And it just made me smile inside.
You're a harsh, harsh man.
Anyway, Raw, it was a good Fallout show, I think. I mean, it set up SummerSlam, it did everything that it should have done, but it only set up the main event. And I think that's what you need to do first before you can set up the other matches, is set up your main event. I don't like the fact that Christian beat Mr. Money in the Bank, Damian Sandow. But it did its job, so I give it a C+. Chris, what'd you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's on par, goodness wise, with the night after Mania, and I give that an A. So I'm going to have to give it an A by default.
Yeah, I can see how it could get an A, but for me, I didn't think that. It was my opinion, but like I said, did its job. So that's at the very least. So all right, so after. Yeah. So that's going to do it for our weekly recap. We're going to take another commercial break, and we'll bring you the news. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
This is Cary Silkin from Ring of Honor, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
What's up, guys and gals? This is Sensational Sequel, Sensational Sean, right here with you. You can catch myself and Ashley, yes, that is his name, on The Open Book every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll catch us doing video games, The Open Book, Fantasy eFed, and movie and entertainment news. So check us out every Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time at snsradionetwork.com. Come check us out.
Not even the Grim Reaper himself, starving to get his hands on my warrior's soul, can't keep me from hearing the battle cries of the warriors in the WWE Universe to experience WWE 2K14. Pay attention. Never before have so many superstars stepped up to challenge our throne. And if you pre-order WWE 2K14, you get to engage the battle as the ultimate warrior. That power, this intensity, your belief, our destiny, all of it together created the one and only Ultimate Warrior. All of us, the freaks, who did in our time what will live forever. Hold this, boss. Pre-order WWE 2K14 today and battle as the one and only Ultimate Warrior. Become immortal. WWE 2K14. Pre-order now.
This is Big Vito, and all I gotta tell you is listen to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network. That's Running the Ropes at the Unchained Wrestling Network. Because I'm the Pavarotti of hard shots to the body. That Paisan has got it going on. That fly Italian guy from SI. And it might be Bruce the Asses, but for ratings, it's up Vito's dress. Go ahead and retweet that.
All right, welcome back, Big Vito. Still one of my favorite interviews of all time on this show, especially when he basically took control. I didn't mind that at all. So, and how can you deny a giant, scary person that wears a dress to the ring. I mean, he's already demented enough as it is, so there you go. Anyway, we're back here. Brian Maverick Bertrand with Chris Kelly from HellXLens.com talking some news, a little bit of wrestling news.
Well, I think to be fair, there's only one article that you want to talk about in there.
One that I took down because there's the only one worth mentioning. I mean, besides the fact that a couple of some wrestlers needed, I don't know what
stitches.
The hell I'm watching now. The stitches, CM Punk needing 13 stitches, and RVD, I believe, needing 16 stitches after his match. It was a pretty relatively slow week, other than the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, the Warrior is back.
Warrior, 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 Warrior.
I'm so happy right now. I mean, Ultimate Warrior, when I was a kid, it was Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior. Those were my top three guys throughout my entire childhood. And after Hogan left for WCW 94, and soon followed by Macho Man, it was all Ultimate Warrior. After WrestleMania 6, it started gradually going up. And now, 2K Games has confirmed that the Ultimate Warrior will be on the upcoming WWE 2K14 video game, which is set to launch on October 28th for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Although he's signed to be in the game, he is not currently scheduled to appear in any WWE TV programming to promote the game. But as you heard in the commercials, they already made the commercial for it. They're ready to go. I can't wait.
So that there, THQ, sorry, not THQ, it's Midway Game. Oh, who? Take my money. Just take my money.
Shut up. Shut the hell up. Just take my money. You already had me sold. You had me sold at the rumors. Okay? So just shut up. Take my money. That's that. Now, the question is, should I get it for Xbox or PS3? I might have to get it for Xbox. Because last year, WWE 13 was way better on Xbox than PS3 because of the custom arena problems.
Yeah.
So I might have to get it for 360 again. Just saying.
Yeah, probably saver.
But I think that's the only news I wanted to cover.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, anyway. Coming up right now, we're gonna go ahead. We're gonna play our interview, or Chris's interview rather, with Taylor Hendricks, formerly TNA Gut Check Knockout, Gut Check winner, that never really got utilized that much. She was on TNA. She was only came on TNA
once
after the Gut Check, and that was for all the Gut Check participants and to come back and make an impact, and that was it.
Yep.
So, and personally, I just want to say that this wasn't really... I felt bad for her because, you know, Christian York got the push. Jay Bradley got the push. Joey Ryan got the push. But Joey Ryan wasn't supposed to be on TNA. And yet Taylor Hendricks was stuck in OVW. But she talks all about that and much, much more coming up. So without further ado, take it away, Chris.
All right, everyone, welcome here to RTR. I am Chris Kelly, and at this time, I am joined by a special guest. I am joined by the first lady ever to win the Gut Check. I am joined by the lovely Taylor Hendricks. Taylor, how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I finally get to talk to you, which, you know, is an honor.
I know, it's been a long time in the making.
I know, I mean, you and I try to do it via TNA. TNA kind of, you know, epically failed on that front. But hey, I actually did get to see you wrestle live. I got to see you wrestle Mickie James when it was a show after Slammiversary.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I did mark out when I was like, holy shit, Taylor, holy dear lord. But I mean, as you said, yeah, we have a lot of questions to get through. But I think we're gonna start, you know, with the biggest question that everyone wants to talk about. You leaving TNA Wrestling. Now, there was some talk about, you know, budget cuts, and then you said on Twitter that you asked for your release. I mean, why did you ask for your release?
So, you know, there was a lot of things going on that I guess since you're the first interview I'm going to have, you'll get the exclusive, you know, answer. You'll be the first. I hope you're excited about that. But basically, I was very unhappy. A lot of people are actually very unhappy, and it's not just people that are new like myself. There's people, you know, it's life. Everybody has ups and downs. Every company has ups and downs. So it's no surprise that people are unhappy. I don't know any one job where every person, you know, is happy with what's going on. But I know for myself, I was very unhappy, and I felt like I wasn't getting what I needed out of the experience, and I was getting really antsy. And I understand what developmental is supposed to be, but I just felt like I was not getting what I needed to become a star. And, you know, the question on everybody's minds, will I become a star? Will I be, you know, just another flop? You know, everybody always seems to say something along those lines when they mention my name. And I really want to go in a direction where I can finally be like, yeah, bitches, like, I'm going to be somebody someday, so start paying attention. And I really did not feel like I was getting that experience. So I was actually sent re-sign papers in the mail. TNA originally wanted me to re-sign to another 1 year of developmental under the same deal. And I wasn't the only one. A couple people were, you know, being spoken to possibly about re-signing their contracts for more developmental time. And before I could even tell them no, I got a phone call saying that me and seven other people were going to be released. So it was just one of those things where I feel like they knew I was unhappy, so they would just release me anyway. I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about the company because that would be just shooting myself in the foot. But overall, yes, I was going to ask for my release, but at the same time, I didn't get the opportunity to do so. So I guess it was fate. Long story short.
Well, I mean, it's strange because, like, of course, you are still down there, aren't you, in OVW? And there was
it's really funny because fans keep asking me, oh, well, you were released from TNA, so you're released from OVW. That means you're a nobody. And I specifically remember one fan. I think his name is Ken Montgomery. I'm not sure. And if that's the wrong person, then I'm so sorry. But I just want to say you need to pay attention and check your facts because you don't need to have a contract to be at Ohio Valley Wrestling. That's
See,
one of
that,
the great things about OVW.
See, that there, I didn't know. I mean, I even asked you on Twitter if you were still in OVW. Like,
yes,
yeah,
I mean, I was at Ohio. I was at Ohio Valley Wrestling before I was signed. I don't think people knew that because it doesn't get advertised in the necessary way. And I feel like OVW really needs to step up on that. And TNA, if they're going to be using OVW as developmental, really needs to up the publicity for Ohio Valley Wrestling because we are the home of tomorrow's superstars today. That's the reputation that we have. You know, a lot of the main roster at WWE and TNA, a lot of those people came out of our system, out of the Ohio Valley Wrestling system, their developmental system, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. And, you know, people from all over the world come to Ohio Valley Wrestling and pay them to train them, you know. So, and I traveled there from Massachusetts, which doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, that's 17 hours away from my home and everybody I knew and my little sister. You know, I missed a lot of things. And I was there for about 6 months or 7 months before I got gut check. And then, you know, so I've been at Ohio Valley Wrestling for almost 2 years now.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, most smart fans will know, you know, how great OVW is. I mean, as you say, they have made most stars right now in WWE and TNA Wrestling.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, but like I say, I had no idea that down there you didn't need a contract. Because, of course, down there I've got my friend, the twins, the lovely Blossom twins down there.
And well, the Blossom twins have been there off and on for over 3 years. And all that whole time they've never been signed. So, you know, that's what people need to think about. You know, from a business standpoint, you know, if you want to be a wrestler, it's a business. And you're in business, you know, to succeed. And in order to make money, you need to spend money. So save up, people. Pay for training. Don't think you're above training because Rip Rogers is one of the best trainers in the world. Danny Davis, you know, those minds are the old school minds, and that mentality still works today and will give you a lot of respect, I feel, in the business itself. And you really can't put a price tag on that experience because not a lot of people have that anymore.
Well, I mean, there's what, like, I was just reading this thing online, and you know, everything online is true. And there's an article about, you know, apparent, like, teenage, you know, apparent, like, you know, money problems, stuff like that. and it's apparently affecting OVW. Have you seen that at all? Have you seen this apparent money problem affecting people down in OVW?
I see a money situation affecting everyone because, you know, if you're worried about money, then you can't focus on your job. If you're worried about money and you're underdevelopmental, then you're not able to focus on the things that you're supposed to be focusing on to succeed and make use of your time in developmental. Developmental is supposed to be the time where you're developing, you're becoming a star and perfecting your craft. But if you're worried about money, your first thought is going to be, okay, well, yes, I'm here to wrestle, but how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to keep my car? How am I going to keep a roof over my head and food in my fridge? Mm. I mean, those are honest, realistic things. I mean, okay, you know, you can always carpool, so a car may not be your first option, but, you know, you do need a car at some times. You know, public transportation can only take you so far. If people are busy, there's certain things you won't be able to do. But a roof is essential. Rent is essential. You know, electric is essential. Paying, you know, having food to eat so you can maintain a look, that is essential. And when you're worried about money, you can focus on those things. So in a sense, you are not developing at all, which is a complete misuse of your time in developmental. And, you know, being at Ohio Valley Wrestling, Danny Davis has to pay bills. You know, he has to pay. He has, you know, he has rent to pay. You know, it costs money to have trainers. It costs money to keep the doors open and buy the stuff for the concession stand and the publicity and this and that and the equipment and so forth. You know, OVW may not look like the best place in the world, but they do have a great reputation, and that costs money. And I think everybody at the moment is feeling some sort of pressure when it comes to the money situation. Now, I'm not going to say in an interview what that is because, you know, I'm not at liberty to say, number one, and number two, I don't work in the office, so I don't know the extent of it. I just know it's not just us.
Well, I mean, I am, you know, a fan of wrestling, but when I'm seeing this up online that, like, wrestlers aren't getting paid, that kind of pisses me off because, as you say, the wrestlers need the money to, like, you know, just, like,
imagine being in our shoes.
I know, I mean, exactly. I mean, like, as a fan, I'm annoyed. I can't imagine how you guys would be, how pissed off you guys would be with this money situation going on in TNA wrestling. Now, you know, like, when it was announced that you were in gut check, I mean, of course, if people did know that you were down in OVW, do you think being in OVW helped you get into the gut check?
Absolutely, because, and you know, it's funny, I'm gonna throw somebody under a bus. There's a girl wrestling right now on the indies who has been known to, quote for quote, say, yeah, OVW is a great place and all for people who need to learn how to work, but I already know everything I need to know. So if you already know everything you need to know, then how come you're not signed and making millions of dollars? There has to be a reason, all right? So with that being said, girl, I hope you're listening, by the way. Being at OVW definitely put me on a greater chance of getting into gut check because I'm at the school. I'm being seen every week by Al Snow and Danny Davis. You know, I was seen three times by Bruce Pritchard. That is the best place if you want to get gut checked because you are seen week after week without having to pay for that seminar, you know, and people automatically hear about it. D'Lo Brown will get updates, okay? Al Snow is there every week writing our TV. We have TV every single Wednesday. There's six practices, different practices going on a week, plus shows. You know, there's something going on every single day of the week at Ohio Valley Wrestling, every single day, Monday through Sunday. So that is the best place to be if you want to get on gut check. And that definitely put me on a bigger scale. And being at Ohio Valley Wrestling actually helped more people find out who I was. You know, I was just some indie girl from Massachusetts who looked like a hipster, you know, and then I came to OVW and all of a sudden I had Shine contacting me and, you know, Shimmer and, you know, AIW Girls Night Out and Ring Bells and Diva Dirt and all these people that I had no idea would even know who I was. So, you know, being a champion at OVW and just being at OVW in general really put me on the map. And that's something I'll always be grateful for. So if you want to get on check, if you want to be in TNA, obviously common sense would be go to their developmental school.
Now, you know, this might be, you know, a bit putting you on the spot, but do you think now the concept of Gut Check is a failure.
Absolutely.
There you have it.
I absolutely, 100%. And I mean, I'm entitled as an American to have my own opinion. This is no, I'm not dogging the company at all. They've done what they've done and did what they could. But in my personal opinion, I think Gut Check is a huge flop because Gut Check isn't publicizing the Ohio Valley Wrestling School at all. So we're not giving people any incentive at all to come to Ohio Valley Wrestling where we're supposed to be training stars. You know, and when they changed the format to the bracket system, they put people's real names on there where fans probably aren't going to know the wrestler's real names. And some people didn't even give their permission for that. And some people didn't even know that they were on the bracket. So I have no idea how that was even organized, because I know there was a girl, Epiphany, who wrestles Epiphany at Ohio Valley Wrestling. She actually just left. She was on the bracket and had no idea until a fan told her, you know, and they used her real name. So that doesn't help anybody, you know. And you're taking a bunch of people from all over the independent scene and basically telling them, okay, if they pay for the seminar or if they somehow got onto the brackets without paying, then, you know, you can get onto Gut Check. That doesn't give any incentive for our school. It doesn't build up our school. It doesn't build up anybody at our school. And we've barely used anybody from our school. You know, you had Ryan Howe, who is also former WWE Tough Enough, who did that, you know, and he's toured with Row, so that's good notoriety and everything, but he is the last person that we've used from our school. Jay Bradley won Gut Check, but he wasn't actually from our school. He was from Chicago. And then you had me and Alex Silva. We were the only other two to do Gut Check who are from the Ohio Valley Wrestling School. Other than that, Sam Shaw was sent to our school, but he wasn't from us. He was from the Dudley School down in Florida. So there was no incentive to boost your developmental. And then on top of that, I just feel like it was such a great idea. I really feel like Gut Check at one point was just so good because it was tangible. You could feel the competition and it was brand new faces. I really felt like it was spicing up the TNA program and you had promising independent talent with different characters and, you know, different looks. And I feel like that's what you need in a program. You need different, you need people that appeal to a different audience and different genre and different marketing. And I feel like it's really dropped the ball, especially because you released every person that won Gut Check except for three people. Wes Briscoe, who's former WWE and has ties to them, Jay Bradley, who's former WWE developmental, and Lady Tappa, whose uncle works for WWE. So it's like, I feel like all the people that work so hard coming from nothing got the shitty end of the stick, which doesn't entice anybody else to want to do Gut Check. You know, you have to show promise in order for people to want to do it. You know, give them a hope and a promise, not just a promise that you don't follow through with. So I'm sorry that was long-winded, but that's basically how I feel about it.
I mean, I think most fans would agree with you. I mean, when they signed Leigh Tapper to a contract over Eva Lees, straight away I was like, that's because that's of her uncle. I mean, if you go back and watch that match...
Wrong. I love Ivy Lee. She's been nothing but sweet to me. But if you put two of them together, Lady Tappa looks very impressive, and she's different, you know, whereas Ivy Lee is similar structure as a lot of the other divas and knockouts. You know, she's slender, blonde hair, tan skin, but she is also exotic with her Puerto Rican attitude and her accent and her fire. So both of those girls would have been really great to sign. But, you know, they don't want to go and sign every single person that comes in for Gut Check, you know. And there also needs to be failure. There needs to be people that don't make it because that makes it more tangible. There's more drama there. There's more everything, you know. At one point, it was like every time somebody tried out for Gut Check, they were getting signed. And I know that some of us weren't supposed to be signed, but we were signed anyway. But that doesn't change the fact that you need that drama because that drama is what makes people want to watch. You know, reality runs television, even though it's fake. You know, reality TV is one of the fakest things on the planet, but why does it draw? Why does everybody want to watch all those reality shows? Because of the drama. So you need that in order for something, some sort of competition to be successful. You need people to clash. You need different people to appeal to different people. And to a lot of people, Lady Tappa is very impressive. She's taller than everybody. She's bigger than everybody. She's, I don't know, she's a brute. And on the other token, Ivy Lee, She's strong. She's a fighter. She has MMA, UFC style. That is different, and she is badass, and I, you know, you probably wouldn't want to get into a fight with her. So if I was running a company, I would love to have both ladies, but, you know, that's just not how it necessarily works.
Yeah, plus, I mean, with all due respect right now to the girls in TNA wrestling, they are not what they used to be. I mean, when you look to know about 07, 06, when TNA had such a strong division of girls, to look at it now...
That's what made me want to go to TNA. I was so excited to be a part of that. You know, you had my veteran from back home, Nikki Rocks, on the roster as Roxy LaVeau. She was awesome. You had ODB in there. You had Awesome Kong. You had cheerleader Melissa. You know, you had Taylor Wilde and Sarita and Hamada. There was just so much good going on. You know, Gil Kim... There was just so much. Those girls were running that show. They kept that company open. They have done, the Knockouts division has done such great things for Dixie Carter. TNA really put women's wrestling back on the map with that. You know, they were having two and three matches on the card every week. Like, it was fantastic. Angelina Lutz, fantastic. That really gave me hope that maybe I would make it somewhere someday, because those girls were kicking ass, taking names, and making sexy dangerous, and it was awesome. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, the reason that people used to watch TNA as opposed to WWE was the women, because like TNA used to push the things that WWE didn't, tag teams and women's wrestling. Now, it's like TNA don't do that. And I mean, you still have girls like Mickey James, Gail Kim, who, in my opinion, you could say are the best girls in the world right now. But if you believe what's online, there are people backstage who maybe joined last year or so that don't like women's wrestling. And I mean, as like you being yourself a women's wrestler, what do you think on this, like, you know, apparent, you know, like, negative thing towards like female wrestling?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I mean, there's like, you know, a general consensus towards women's wrestling nowadays is that like it's not that good. I mean, it's not that good. I mean, why do you think there is a negative feeling in the big companies towards women's wrestling?
Well, because men in particular don't like competition. You know, they want it to be their business, their sport, their this and that. And, you know, over time, people have understood that wrestling is a male-dominated sport, mostly done by men and watched by men. But what men in power forget is that men want to see hot women duke it out. And what they've done after realizing that is put in girls who can't wrestle, put in models who just look good, you know, put in cheerleaders and this and that. And that's okay, but only make them stick to their strengths. Don't have them doing, you know, giant sunset flips and chair shots and all these different things that you know they can't do. Because even though it's only, you know, two or however many girls in the match, that makes everybody look bad. All the girls, you know, we're in a male-dominated sport. You know, so we have to stick together. Girls have to stick together, stop arguing with each other, stop making each other look bad, and stop hurting each other and talking crap about each other. We're all in this together, and we're not going to get anywhere, and we're not going to boost women's wrestling's reputation unless we all work together. And that's going to take us standing up for each other, even if we don't like each other. And, you know, sometimes it involves saying, no, I won't do that, you know, because people hate women's wrestling because that's all they've seen for a while was these models duke it out, and it looked bad. And then the girls who could actually wrestle weren't being utilized. But, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s, you had girls who kicked ass. You had the Litas, the Trish Stratus, the Ivories, the Molly Hollies, you know, Victoria. You had all of those girls tearing up, Jazz. There was just so much good going on. And then, you know, it started to fall a bit after that, because I think girls figured out that all you had to do to get signed really was be sexy. You know, they could teach you how to wrestle later. But they were getting by on being sexy. Who wants to work the extra mile and work extra hard to actually learn how to wrestle if you're going to get paid roughly the same amount anyway to just be sexy? So girls stopped being characters and stopped appealing to different markets, and they just decided to be sexy and not go the extra mile to know how to wrestle. You know, Lita, Trish Stratus, Victoria, Molly Holly, they all had a character that was unique to them, and nobody else was doing what they were doing. You know, if moonsault was your finish, none of the other girls were doing the moonsault. If you were the punk chick, nobody else was a punk chick. If you were the psycho girl, then nobody else was allowed to be psycho. You know, everybody had their own spot and their own flavor and spice. And I feel like that's missing a lot from women's wrestling. Now it's like you're sexy and you go out there and you scream and pull hair. And to me, that's what's gone down with women's wrestling and given them a bad name. But I feel like we're coming back because you have the Jessica Havocs, you have the Angelina, you have all these different people who are playing different roles who can actually wrestle. And I feel like that's slowly bringing us back to where we should be. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm really excited to be a part of it because I feel like once we get back to that, we'll be unstoppable because, you know, no matter how good or how bad the business is of wrestling right now or the economy even, sex never goes out of style, no matter how much or how little money you have. You know, there will always be porn. There will always be sex. People are always going to have a sex drive, no matter how poor or how rich they are. So to me, that means women's wrestling is always going to draw and it'll never be out of style because men are always going to want to see women duke it out and women are always going to want to go with their men to see the women duke it out because they want to be just like those women. So that's my opinion.
I think you might have said like the best line ever. Sex will never go out of style. I mean, that there, I'm done. No, but I mean, what is next for you? Because like as you said, there are so many great women out on the indie scene. I mean, I was literally just in New York City the other week for FWE, and there they had Eva Lise, they had Angelina Love, they had Maria, and they had who else was there? And Winter. I mean,
I would have loved to have been a part of that. FWE, if you're listening, get on it. all of those girls are so wonderful. I love them all.
Well, I mean, I go there now quite often because I usually fly to FWE and then to TNA. And because Bound for Glory is October 21st, I think, I'm flying to FWE first because, you know, I go there for the wrestling because there the girls can wrestle. They're allowed to wrestle. So yeah, I mean, if you go to FWE, I'm there. Literally, I'll be there anyway. I might, you know, hashtag Taylor to FWE. That's now my next plan.
Awesome.
But I mean, where else would you like to wrestle? I mean, okay, here's on the spot. If you were offered a contract by WWE, would you go there?
Absolutely. That's, you know, ideally, if you want to make money, that's where you want to go, you know? I am so excited. You know, it's funny because I actually applied to WWE right before I got gut checked. So it was kind of one of those things where life happens and, you know, it takes you in a direction. And, you know, I'm a better person for it. So I don't begrudge how it happened. But, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of things going on right now, but WWE is definitely on my radar as something I would love to do. And I'm really excited to go there because they are really focused on women's wrestling and making stars. And, you know, you have Sarah Del Rey as one of the trainers. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. And they're really focused on having girls and girls that can wrestle. They're hiring girls from the independents like there's no tomorrow. You know, so they've been doing their homework, and I just want to be a part of it so bad.
I mean, this whole NXT and this new performance center, whatever it's called. I mean, as you say, they are hiring people left, right, and center from the indie scene that can wrestle. And I would love to see you wrestle Paige. Not only in English.
That. She is so talented. They have so many talented girls in there. I cannot wait for them to get called up and see what they can do. You know, you have Paige. You have Mercedes KV, who's now Sasha Banks. She's also from Massachusetts. And Davina Rose, there are so many girls. Tamil Taylor, I think she's Emma or Bailey, I can't remember. There are so many girls in their developmental right now at NXT, and they are just so bloody talented. It's just amazing, and I can't wait for them to get called up and see what characters they'll portray and see how they'll put women's wrestling for WWE back on the mat because WWE is really focused on that, and not just on the women's side either, but on the men's side as well, and it's really exciting to see all of that developing.
Well, I mean, it's strange. Like, earlier you said, you know, that sex will never get out of fashion, and it's strange because in a PG world that WWE are now, they are now pushing the girls because they have to, that can wrestle. Because they can't have, you know, the sexy, 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 sexy girls, because that's not PG. So they have to have girls that can wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
And I think that's exactly what we need. But we need the characters, because without being sexy now, girls have to figure out, oh, crap, I can't rely on my assets now. What can I do? And some of them are flopping because they don't. know what their character is because they never had to do character development really before. So now you really have to focus on drawing the crowd in, not just with your wrestling, but how your character wrestles. You know, if you're a mean girl, how are you going to wrestle? If you're a sweet little country bumpkin, how are you going to wrestle? If you're a hot Latina, you're probably going to make a production of taking off every piece of jewelry before you go and try to punch that girl in the face. You know, so every girl needs to be different and showcase herself in that way, because then the crowd's going to be into it, and you draw the kids in, which draws the parents in, which draws the money. You know, so it's going to be great.
Okay, I'm going to get to a fan question. Is there anyone right now who you would like to face on the indie scene?
Oh, my God. I can't pick just one. There are so, so many. I really want to wrestle Angelina Love. I was booked to wrestle her before I got signed, like, several times, and for some reason it just never worked out. So I definitely want to wrestle with Angelina or Angel Williams. I definitely want to wrestle with Katarina Waters. Katie Lee, I'm dying to wrestle her, and, you know, Beth and Revy Sky, Jessica Havoc. There are so many girls. I'm actually starting to tag with one of my cousins, Cherry Bomb. So I'm really excited about all the things that we're going to be able to do together. And there's just, I could go on and on and on with that list of girls. So there's so many girls out there. So I have a growing and growing list, believe me. And now that I'm not signing, okay, got to write this person down, that person. So it's going to be fun.
Another question. If you couldn't go to WWE, would you like to go to ROH?
Absolutely, yes. I'm actually going to be contacting them really soon. Hopefully something happens with that, because it looks like they're starting to bring in girls as well. So I think everybody's starting to notice that girls are actually a draw. So hopefully I can get back there. I haven't been there since like 2010. So.
A question for Anthony. Is there a personal favorite match of yours?
A personal favorite match of mine that I was in, or
yes.
One that I just
liked? Both. Do both.
Okay. Match that I was in, I would say one of my all-time favorite matches is both matches with Tara, you know, Lisa Marie. And my other favorite match is actually a three-way that can be viewed at Ohio Valley Wrestling and at Shine. And it's me versus former TNA Knockout Soulja Boy and former OVW Women's Champion Heidi Lovelace. So those are some of the favorite matches that I've ever been in, and as well as me versus Holly Blossom from Ohio Valley Wrestling. So those are some of my favorite matches if you want to look them up on YouTube. And a lot of the women that I like to wrestle, would love to wrestle, or would like that I like watching, I guess I would say, would be a lot of older female wrestlers like Princess Victoria, Velvet McIntyre, and Leilani Kai. I just love watching them wrestle, and Sherry Martel, one of my favorite matches to watch is actually Sherry Martel versus Rockin' Robin. I love that. I've seen it so many times. And then there's a really good match that I love between Victoria and Trish, and then one with Lita and Trish. So, yeah.
My producer said that he's upset that you didn't mention that you'd like to wrestle Cheerleader Melissa. He would see you versus Cheerleader Melissa, apparently.
I met her once. She was very, very nice. Hey, if I ever get the opportunity, I definitely wouldn't say no. Like I said, there's a bunch of girls I want to wrestle, and I would probably take up your whole program just listing them all, so it would be unrealistic to list every single one.
Now, there's one question that I got sent in, and we did say that we would take any question from Twitter. Would you ever consider doing Playboy?
I actually had an opportunity, but I had to turn it down because I got signed, and so I had to wait. So I actually would consider doing it because I think Playboy is done in a very classy way. So, yeah, I would consider doing Playboy.
Guys, there you go. Like, tweet Playboy. Bring in Taylor. Oh. Once again, my producer is saying, how awesome would it be to see Taylor versus Maria, redhead hotness?
That would be awesome. I love Maria Kanellis. She is so wonderful at what she does. Like, that girl is everywhere.
Yeah, but I got to meet her when I was at FWE, and that girl can go from being, you know, super nice to being her, you know, first aid character, just like that. And when she does, like, it can scare you. Because her, you know, her first lady character is extremely bitchy, and it, like, her stare could kill you. And then next to her, you have, you know, Mike Bennett. And he, you know, looks like he could lurch you at any point. So between those two.
Let's see here. It looks like somebody wants me to answer whether I like Dr. Pepper or not. And I would have to say no, I hate Dr. Pepper. And I, let's see, Snapple versus soda, I would probably pick Snapple. You have any more questions for me?
Let's see. I got one that I just sent in. And, you know, I heard a bit about this, but regarding you and a lesbian storyline in OVW, what was that about?
I'm sorry, what?
Someone mentioned a lesbian storyline in OVW.
Yes, and it actually kind of just blew up in my face. I like to be the leader wherever I go, and I'm going to leave a lasting impression wherever I go, and you can either follow with me or you can get squashed by me. Heidi Loveless didn't seem to get the memo, and I found out she had a crush on me. Which is really weird because, you know, I've been kicking her butt since she appeared on the scene. But, you know, I figured, hey, I'm an equal opportunity. You know, I'm ever the opportunist. So I saw that she had a crush on me. She was giving me gifts anonymously. Once I found out, I decided that I would be able to use her feelings to get my title back. And from Trina, our women's champion. And that kind of didn't work exactly the way I planned. But I definitely have more things up my sleeve, and she's going to find out just why I'm a leader and not a follower and just why she got burned. So I think people should definitely watch OVW to see what's going to happen to Heidi Lovelace, because I'm about to give that ugly duck a makeover that she will never forget. Trust me. Trust me on that one.
So that there is your, you know, your second point on OVW. If you guys want to see, you know, a lesbian storyline involving Taylor, OVW, go find it. OVW.com, I believe it was, or just, you know, just Google OVW and it'll take you to their homepage, and then you get to see as much as, you know, the lovely, as much as you want, or lovely you. So I mean, do you have any dates lined up so far? Like any dates so far?
Yes, I will be in New Jersey on August 9th, and July 27th, I will be in Pell City, Alabama. It's actually a really fun show. I actually enjoy it. It's in Pell City, like I said, and it's actually versus Tracy Taylor, the Island Girl, for Global Championship Wrestling. So if you want, look that up. It's going to be awesome. I love being there, and the fans are so awesome. And Tracy Taylor is one of the top girls, so it's nice to work with a girl who's a veteran like that.
Now, and also on Twitter, at Taylor Hendricks, I believe. No, it's at _ Taylor Hendricks. Let me actually check. Sorry, I have to get it correct.
It's at Taylor _ Hendricks.
Yeah. So right now I'm not, you know, looking at my screen. I'm looking at my computer, but not actually my screen. Before I let you go, can I get a quick liner for the show?
Sure.
Just say hey, this is Taylor Hendricks, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Network.
Hey guys, this is Taylor Hendricks here, and you are watching Running the Ropes. Hope you enjoy.
And that was former TNA Knockout Gut Check winner Taylor Hendricks. I gotta say, Chris, it was a good interview. I mean, one very lengthy interview, and she was very open.
Yeah, she's a lovely girl. And like I say, she's got a bright future wherever she goes. TNA did muck up with her, and we learned in that interview a lot of things, you know, about OVW. We learned about the reported problems with TNA with money. This girl's a bright future, and I'd like to thank Taylor for the interview as well. So, yeah, pretty
fun. As always, as we say with every wrestler that we've ever interviewed, she's definitely welcome to come back if there's any more grievances she wants to air out, anything else she wants to mention. Any props, any grievances, anything big, you know, just come on the show. Definitely, mm-hmm. We invite it. So, anyway, that's going to do it for me. Chris, is your last active show. You're going to be still on the show for talent relations, media relations, which would be cool, which is awesome. And I want to thank you for coming on the show and definitely giving the show the English feel. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I've been able for 2 years now on air, just about. And I think with me, you know, working more, you and I were unable to find a time that fit us both to do the show. So I thought it would be easier if I was to depart from the hosting aspect of this.
We do go back on the live very soon, yeah. So
I might be back, depending on, like, because of course I'm off work Thursdays, so if we're back on Thursdays, I might be back. But for the, you know, foreseeable future...
Can I say this now, then? I will be back on Thursdays, because I'm the station manager for KJCC, and I get first dibs on picking a slot, so I'm taking I'm taking the same time. Thursdays, 1 to 3 Pacific time, 4 to 6 Eastern time, right here on the SNS Network.
So, if that fits into my schedule, like it should do, I'll be back then. But for what I'll say the near future, I'm gone.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine, Chris. I want to thank you again. And if you guys want to get a hold of us, you can reach us on Twitter at RTR Maverick, no K at the end because that's just how I roll. At H2H Krelly because he's just a creepy child. I mean, H2H creepy, I should say.
Fuck you, Joe Boss.
It's the best account ever. You could also hit us up
on...
It
never tweets.
It's true. It never tweets. I mean, you're at least Twitter stalking at least half of the Knockouts roster by now.
Good guess, half, yeah.
You could also email us, runningtheropes@yahoo.com. Also on Facebook at facebook.com/runningtheropes.radio. So for Chris Kelly, this is Brian Maverick Bertrand saying, see you later, everybody.
Wait.
This has been a presentation of Running the Ropes, the official podcast of the Unchained Wrestling Network and brought to you by the SNS Radio Network. The views expressed in this program are that of the panel and not of the networks or their affiliates.